Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The big quote from Dan Quinn's press conference yesterday was, "The clock is ticking." And the clock is ticking on this season, on this team's chances of making the playoffs. They are at 15% now. Less than 1% that we could be the number one overall seed. Less than 8% that we could host the wild card round. 7% that we will be in the playoffs in the wild card round. 85% chance that Washington now misses out on the playoffs. The clock is ticking. Ticking on this season. The clock is ticking on time that Jaden Daniels has missed due to injury. The other big quote was from Terry McLaurin, who said after the loss to the Chiefs, quote, "It was a tale of two halves." The question is, can Washington now work their ass off and turn two halves into four full quarters? Because there were a lot of positives to take away from defeat. And, I mean, Jeremy, am I just saying that because I'm a homer? Or were there actually a lot of positives in a 7-28 butt-whooping?
No, I think there was a lot to like in this game specifically, especially the way the defense came out with energy. Like, this meant something to them, especially in the first half. That was really good to see. You hadn't seen that all season long.
Yeah, the guys responded to Dan Quinn, who told the media all week long he was going to look at everything and break down every little thing that they could improve on the defense. It ended up being a few changes to add more speed, right, to maximize the speed they can have on the field at all times. And I think some of those were hits, some of those were misses. I still don't think we're getting the Luvu of last season, which is just baffling to me. I thought he was going to be one of the next great hard-hitting linebackers in the National Football League, and now he's a weakness on the field at times. But there were a lot of positives. Like you said, defensively, the energy they had to start the game, but also that final drive before the half. I keep talking about how much that is important, and it won't go down as an important drive, but that was crucial. And in a game that ends up being a one-score game in the fourth quarter, they will have won a game because of that if they can keep doing that. You have got to get stops when Nadeem gets the ball with a minute left and they're trying to just get into field goal range. So how do they put it together and build off of the success? I think it starts on the offensive side of the ball. I really do. I mean, that was a beautiful first drive down the field until it got ugly, when the ball went right through the fingertips of Deebo Samuel, actually bounced off of his face mask, took a terrible Commander's bounce, a perfect Chiefs bounce, into the hands of their linebacker, who had never had an interception in his high school, college, or NFL career. And he got his first one right there. Just typical. But the first drive was looking so smooth before that, and that's what this is about, because at the end of the day, there's only the truths, all right? You can be a team that wants to be good. You can be a team that actually puts it together. The truth is that we're not good offensively and we're not good defensively. But also the truth is that we were not good defensively last year, but we were really good offensively. So as much as I want to bitch and complain and moan about the defense, and I want Joe Witt Jr. on the sidelines. How many times can I say that? He's not moving down the sidelines. But the offense has taken a step back. Bigger than the defense has taken a step back. And at the end of the day, if they're going to put it together, if they're going to play four full quarters of football, it's the offense starting fast, the offense staying strong, the offense coming out and starting the third quarter with a strong drive, not like this last game to the Chiefs where we got lost at midfield, and then finishing the game strong with a fourth quarter drive to win it. We need four full quarters of offense, which we had for about 10 games last year. We haven't had it once this season. Because even in the Giants win, the offense disappeared. In the Raiders win, all right, the offense got off to a slower start, but then they got rolling, but it was Marcus Mariota out there. Like, I don't think we've had, and we didn't need to score in the fourth quarter of that game, right? Remember all the talk after the Raiders win 41-14 was, oh man, the defense just gave up so many fourth quarter yards. But it wasn't about the offense, because the offense could have ran the clock out and won the game. So to me, this is all about the offense. I want an improved defense, but for this team to improve, we need better offensive performances. It starts on the offensive side of the ball to get better and to string together more positive plays, more positive drives, put more points on the board. At the end of the day, that's the biggest difference. Like, we can talk about how upsetting the defense is. I can tell you how much I hate watching Marshon Lattimore. Oh, he makes a play. Yeah, because you put him on a wide receiver three, right? I hate watching this defense at times. But the offense went from a top 10 rushing offense, a top 10 scoring offense, a top 15 passing offense, to taking steps back in all three. And the biggest notice is the points being scored every game. It's not enough. It's not enough to win football games. 7 points is not going to win you a freaking football game. 24 points at home is not going to win you a football game. 22 points in Dallas against the best offense in football right now, it's not going to win you a football game, right? We're not scoring enough points here. And it's obvious that it's complementary football issues, right? Because the defense gets two big picks in the first half. The offense did nothing with it. They scored 0 points off turnovers. It took an incredible catch by Terry McLaurin for us to get anything in that game. So it goes both hands here. It is complementary, right? We need our offense to score and then our defense to get a stop. But the biggest thing I've noticed from last year to this year, outside of the damn injuries, is the offense is scoring 6 less points per game. And we've lost games by more than that, but we would have won the Bears game if we scored 29 points that we were scoring last year. We would have won the Chiefs game if we scored the 29 points we were scoring last year. I mean, we would have won the Packers game. Like, that's the difference. We're not moving the ball as much, and then we're not putting it into the end zone. I really do think, and this comes down to the amount of guys, maybe it's just Terry McLaurin, the amount of important guys that missed training camp, and then as the season have started, the amount of important guys like Terry and Debo and Jaden that have missed practice, we just don't have the touchdown plays, right? And like, Kansas City has their touchdown play. The ball's going to Travis Kelce. You've seen Dallas's touchdown play. The ball goes to CeeDee Lamb or it goes to Ferguson. Like, all these teams, they have their touchdown plays. They have their home run balls. They have their, all right, we need, it's third down in the red zone, third and goal, we have to execute. For Washington, that was Zach Ertz. That was Zach Ertz. He's not the same player he was last season. He looks a step slower, and he doesn't look like he has as good hands as he did last year. So we need the touchdown play. Who's that going to come from? I think it starts with McLaurin being healthy and playing consecutive games. The Commanders have to put out an injury report today. I believe they'll wait till 4 o'clock because they haven't put anything out today. They have changed their profile photo because they are going retro, as today, this Sunday night, will be one of the retro games. I think it is Seattle, and then what was it? Was it Dallas was the other one?
Yeah, Seattle had one, and then
Dallas, and then It might be the Denver Broncos game as well. I know when the schedule came out and they put this, the three games they were going to wear the Super Bowl uniforms, I said, we have to go undefeated in those games. We couldn't need them more right now. We need those three wins. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. This is Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town. And if you want UVA athletics, you got Who's Talking Monday nights with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. And Jeremy's running the ones and twos, Jay Money. And I've got the notes from Who's Talking right here. It looks like they mapped out just how UVA can get into the CFP and what it would take for UVA to get to Charlotte for the ACC championship. Who's Talking UVA Football? We are. Weekly now on AWOD Radio. Joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, he covers UVA athletics. It's our buddy Preston Willett. What's up, Preston?
What's up, Adam? Good to be here again.
Absolutely. I mean, we promised we're going to bring you on every week while the UVA football team keeps winning. And how about that? The cardiac Cavs, regulation's not enough. They live for overtime.
Yeah, it's never enough for this team, man. It harks back to that 2017 that I feel like I have to keep referencing, because that was the last team that just every week it was 1 point or 2 points or 3 points or something like that. But this team's doing it in overtime. Only the second team in ACC history to win three overtimes in one season. The other team was that other team down in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech, back in 2012. So it has been a wild ride, to say the least, this year for this Cavalier team.
Preston with us here on the Dean Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Writer for the Sabre and host of Who's On, the podcast. And UVA wins by an inch, but I know you answered the question, what's wrong with the offense? Because, I mean, it feels like the defense has saved their ass recently.
Yeah, the defense is, you know, they're kind of growing as the season has gone on, but the offense has regressed, and, you know, there's no doubt about that. You know, at first it was like, all right, maybe that's a blip on the radar. Now it's kind of starting to become a trend for the offense, and it's really a nuanced issue. There's no one thing. I know a lot of people want to point to Chandler Morse, you know, being a little dinged up right now, his non-throwing shoulder. He injured that in the season opener against Coastal Carolina. That's certainly a part of it. Offensive line kind of has been up and down because of injuries. They had their worst game of the season against North Carolina, allowing six sacks. They'd only allowed five going into that game. And the run game just hasn't been able to kind of get some traction lately, which has meant that Virginia is not getting into rhythm early on in games. So that's kind of a combination of everything. And I love how, you know, Tony Elliott put it this week, you know, sometimes the penthouse and the outhouse are on the same floor. And that's kind of what it's been. You know, they had this great offense to begin the season. Now they've kind of regressed. They think it's only a game of inches away from being there. I think maybe they don't get back to those highs that they had early in the season, but I think this week is definitely a good shot for them to kind of recover some of that offensive momentum they had.
Yeah, Cal just played at Virginia Tech, and that was a late one. Double overtime, Hokies won 42-34. So Virginia's got Cal coming up November 1st at Cal. And, you know, you got to take care of these road games, and the home games aren't going to be easy, but everything's still to play for. You got to be excited about that. With the offense, I think it stems with the offensive line playing better and getting at more of a consistent rushing attack, rolling, getting Jamari Taylor back over 100 yards here. But, you know, in terms of the ACC standings, how do you think things are going to play out right now with four games left for most of these teams?
It's tough because, I mean, this four-game stretch that Virginia has coming up at Cal, home against Wake Forest, at Duke, and Virginia Tech, this is a lot tougher than even just a couple weeks ago when I was sitting in your studio. Like, it's a pretty tough stretch now for Virginia. Cal's kind of been the trap game that everyone refers to because of that West Coast travel. But Wake Forest coming back the next week, that's a really tough game now. Wake has played a lot better as of late. Beat SMU last week, and then Duke is always a formidable team, especially being on the road there. And then, and we keep talking about the boogeyman of Virginia Tech at the end of the season with the interim head coach. It'll be interesting. I think Virginia, they have to win out. Maybe they have to win out, but I think, you know, you can't lose, you know, a game and feel comfortable right now. So if you lose one this week at Cal, then it starts to feel a little uncomfortable, especially, you know, down the stretch, because there's a ton of teams kind of lurking there in that ACC title race. But I think in any week in the ACC, like Georgia Tech, they could go down some week. You know, they're unbeaten right now, but who knows what's going to happen. You know, we saw that with Miami and Louisville a few weeks ago, and, you know, Miami and Louisville are lurking, but who's to say that they're not going to suffer another setback? It's just ACC football, man. Like, you really never know. So it's a complete mystery who's going to get to Charlotte at the end of the day, but I think Virginia has a good shot right now if they just can fix some stuff offensively and take care of business the rest of the way.
Yeah, I hope Virginia doesn't fall into this, but I have got a ton of upsets going on this weekend in the ACC, and it might even start in Blacksburg with Virginia Tech against Louisville. They're playing a lot better. I do think SMU can absolutely beat Miami at home there. It's crazy to me. Miami's getting 12.5. SMU has been so much, you know, they've got playmakers on that team. I think Duke could win at Clemson. And then I look and I say NC State, Georgia Tech. NC State is playing for something here. They feel like they had a good season that should end in a bowl win this year with C.J. Bailey, but the last few weeks they have not played the part, right? So I think they have a chance to upset Georgia Tech. I mean, everything is still open. It could end up being a two-loss team into the championship. You never know.
Yeah, no, that's for sure on the table. And I go back to last year. A lot of people are saying, you know, this week, if a Virginia team with a loss in the ACC championship game, would they be good enough to make the college football playoff? Well, it's kind of a similar resume to what SMU had last year, if you go back and look at it. So I think everything is still on the table. You know, two teams could make the college football playoff from the ACC. Three teams could make it. It just kind of depends how this rest of the season falls out. But I expect some more kind of ACC carnage, if you will.
Yeah, and my take will always be you cannot penalize a team for losing a championship game that other teams didn't play in, a.k.a. Notre Dame, join the conference or get the heck out of here. It's so annoying. They do this every single year. One thing for Virginia to keep winning games, keep winning the turnover battle, right?
Yeah. No, they've been great in turnovers this year. They're actually forcing turnovers, which is something that we really haven't seen under the defense coordinator, John Rudzinski, in his 4 years in Charlottesville. That's been huge. But just as importantly, they don't turn the ball over themselves. I think they have not lost a fumble yet this season. They're one of very few teams to do that. They've also, you know, Chandler Morris has a couple interceptions here and there. The one against UNC, that was a really bad interception. We'll be honest about that. But that was his first one since the Florida State game. So generally they keep control of the ball, and that's kind of what UNC's problem was. You know, they played a better game against UVA, but they made the mistakes. Virginia did not. And that's why Virginia won. Same thing with Louisville, too. So if Virginia can keep avoiding making mistakes like that, they've got a good shot in any game, even if the offense is, you know, not at its best.
Preston, really appreciate you taking the time to join the show. What's the latest with UVA basketball? I know they had a successful exhibition against Villanova.
Successful in terms that it happened.
Villanova spanked VCU, so let me just say that.
Yeah, they did. They did, and I think Villanova was missing a few guys, but I thought Virginia looked pretty good. They're going to open the season against Rider on Monday, so we'll be looking forward to that. But, I think Virginia looks pretty good. It's going to be kind of a process to get them running up to speed in Ryan Odom's offense and the system there, so first couple weeks, don't be surprised if there's some interesting results, but, you know, that's why you play Rider and not Villanova.
Preston Willett is a writer for the Sabre and host of Who's On the Podcast. Tell our audience a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, man, we have two podcasts a week. Let me get the right terms out there. Two podcasts a week. We just did one for football. We just released our men's basketball season preview, so you can go over there. We're on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and I also got a second basketball podcast coming out tomorrow. We talked with ESPN's Terrence Oglesby, kind of previewing the ACC basketball season. So lots of good stuff. Busy time of year, as you know. It's the crossover season.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Preston. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Commanders. The pro football team can be heard right here at 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're going to head out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Joining us right now, Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post, Tashawn Reed. What's going on, man?
Not much. It's another week, another Jaden Daniels injury watch, right?
So yeah,
get some word on quarterback.
Is there any update that you can give us? And if not, when do you expect an update?
We should get one this afternoon. The team is practicing a little bit later than they usually do on Wednesday. But you know, Coach Dan Quinn will talk before practice. Then we'll see if he's out there at practice, and if he does, Daniels will talk afterwards. So. You know, he suffered that hamstring injury against the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago, kept him out last week. You know, the team was pretty cautious with him. You know, he's coming back from that knee sprain earlier in the year, and I imagine they'll be the same. But, you know, hamstring is one of those tricky injuries. You kind of just have to see how it responds. And so I don't think they're playing coy or anything like that. I think they just genuinely want to see how it responds and in practice before they make any definitive statements about it.
Yeah, the timing of everything might be boring to my audience, but to me, I'm really interested. So they played Monday night. They get home Tuesday, like probably 3-4 a.m. And so today's practice, like in a normal week, it would have been like, what, 11:30 or something? When are they supposed to take the field?
Practice, I think it starts around 3:30. Dan Quinn talks at 3:15, so it should get going about 3:30, 3:40. It'll be a shorter practice than normal, partly because of that sequencing you mentioned. More of a walkthrough type of pace today than usual. So going to let the guys acclimate and adjust. And, you know, that's part of why they push the time back, you know. So, you know, not you know, something that many teams have to deal with, not unique to them, but they're definitely making some adjustments for it.
So Tashawn Reed with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. And, you know, we had you on the show last time, and I told you how much of a fan of this team I am, and I kind of feel like I'm speaking for the fan base all the time when I talk about the Commanders. But unlike a lot of fans, I saw positives in that game. I came away optimistic because they put it together for a half. Now the question is, can they pull it together for four full quarters for a full game, even though they have yet to really do that this season? What were some of the positives you saw on Monday night?
Yeah, I think for the defense, you saw them create turnovers, which has really been an issue this year. You know, they went with the, you know, revamped defensive front, you know, more of a five-man front with Frankie Louvu primarily playing as an edge rusher, and Jordan McGee, you know, filling in the inside linebacker, his space, and Tyler Owens also working in that safety. And so they had, you know, mentioned that they're going to, in addition to paring down the team, make some schematic changes and personnel adjustments, and we saw that. And early on, it works. You know, I think they were defending the run well. They were rushing the passer pretty well, which helped the secondary hold up, you know, and that was kind of the script that you wanted to see. The issue was the offense couldn't capitalize. You know, they had those opportunities against the Chiefs to take an early lead, and instead it was a tie game, you know, at halftime. And eventually Patrick Mahomes and those guys are going to get rolling, and the defensive you know, mismatch really that that was, given their personnel issues and all the injuries, was going to show through. But, you know, it was, like you said, encouraging to see them, you know, have that success early on. It's a question of, you know, can they really sustain it for four quarters? I'm not sure. But maybe they don't have to with the offense, you know, capitalize on some of those opportunities. If the defense starts breaking down later on, it wouldn't be as big of a deal where it becomes a lopsided game. But it has to be complimentary football. You know what I mean? Like, they showed some defensive progress, but the offense was really disappointing. You know, they moved the ball well, but once they got in the Chiefs territory, they really just couldn't do anything with it in terms of finishing drives. So they have to still put it all together, but at least defensively, you saw some flashes of improvement.
Yeah, it just feels like this team is lacking the touchdown play. Like, you know, they, maybe it's because Jay Daniels is not there and Terry McLaurin missed training camp. But, like, last year, they got to the red zone, they found Ertz, right? Or they'd get the 40-yard pass to Terry McLaurin. And I know they got one of those with 11 points. But I think a big part of the offensive struggles, it starts with the rushing attack. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, it's the rushing attack. What have you seen from the offensive line and the running backs that have led to a step back in the rushing attack?
Yes, it's been a mix of things. With the quarterback injury and receiver injuries, I think opposing defenses have been more willing to load the box, you know, bring an extra safety down, play more man coverage, and basically dare the Commanders' receivers to beat them. And that's been a winning bet, you know, the last 3 weeks. And then also, you know, I think the offensive line has been, you know, still been run blocking well, but I think they haven't been giving them as many opportunities to run the ball as they should. You know, I mean, it's been one of the most efficient rushing attacks in the league. But those attempts, you know, have been really inconsistent. Can't really pin a reason down, you know, for why. But I mean, you know, Marcus Mariota had more rushing attempts than any other running back, you know, last game. And I just don't think that should be the case, particularly when they've been as adept at running the ball as they have been from a macro sense this season. And so I think they could benefit from a greater commitment to the run game from a play calling standpoint, but also there's just a factor there of, like, you need JD back, right? You know, not just, you know, for how he opens up the pass game, but what he does as a runner, and then your receiver injuries. Like, if you don't have threats that teams have to worry about, why wouldn't they sell out on the run, you know? So it's a mix of factors there, but it's definitely been one of the biggest issues the team has faced during this 3-game losing streak.
Tashawn Reed with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. So I'm not going to hold you to these. I just want your personal opinion. Percentage chance that Terry McLaurin plays Sunday?
It sounded pretty 50-50 the way he was talking after the game. You know, he said he feels like he's going to take it day to day. You know, he's optimistic, but has to see how he responds. And I think part of that is, you know, I mean, he just went through this process the last 4 weeks and saw how up and down he kind of felt with this quad injury, and, you know, re-aggravating it, you know, you don't want to make it worse. You know, I would say 50-50. Like, he's going to try to give it a go, but if his body just doesn't respond, then they'll probably hold him out this week.
Jaden Daniels.
I would say 85%. I feel like Jaden plays.
Dude, I needed you to say that. You just made my day.
Yeah, that may be ambitious, but I think, you know, the way that they described it, a low-grade hamstring strain, doesn't sound that serious. They just wanted to err on the side of caution last week. He spent the entire week rehabbing. Then they said he had a good rehab session over the weekend. He was there at the game in sweats. I would be surprised, barring, you know, it's hamstring. So, again, all this is with the condition that there could be a setback. There always is a chance when you have a hamstring injury. But if there is not, and the injury doesn't get any worse, I think he's going to be out there on some way.
I love your optimism. Do you have any details about him making the trip? Because, tell me if I'm wrong here, I didn't believe he made the trip when he was injured and missed games.
Yeah, they typically don't bring guys who are injured and not going to play, but I think because they wanted to get him a rehab session in on Sunday, I believe they said is when they did a rehab session with him, that's probably why he came, just to sort of see how he performed instead of just having him sit at home.
Defensively, the changes they made. We saw Luvu rushing the passer more. We saw Lattimore, moved more inside. I mean, at least that's where he had his interception. We saw McGee and we saw Owens. Which of those changes do you think worked? And are there any other changes you're expecting for this weekend?
I think they all collectively sort of worked in a way, right? I mean, I think Luvu sliding over to edge rusher kind of helps you bring some more pressure. And also, I do think, you know, McGee at this stage is probably, you know, a better, you know, in terms of pass coverage, a better athlete and a better matchup for some of those, you know, receivers and tight ends and running backs that he's going to end up with. And from a coverage standpoint, you know, I think the corners held up pretty well. I think most of the big plays that we saw was more of an issue with linebackers and safeties. You know, I think at safety is kind of tough because, you know, losing Will Harris, he's one of the best communicators on the team. You know, that's who you expect him to be the starter, obviously. And basically you're filling in with guys that ideally are special teams contributors or maybe come in a dime package. But, like, now you have to have those guys play 40, 50 snaps. And I think there's going to be some breakdowns that come with that. But I think the defensive staff, you know, Joe Witt and everybody else collectively, they're kind of making the most out of what they have. Like, I know people don't want to hear that. And we point to coordinators when things aren't going well, but the personnel just, it's not that great right now, you know, due to these injuries, and they kind of have to get creative and try to work around it. And I think that's something we're going to have to see continue throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah. Safety is hard to evaluate because from just watching Jeremy Reeves flashed over and over and over again, I thought he set the tone. He was the hard hitter. He was all over the field. But like the safety play wasn't good enough. And from Quan Martin, it feels like it hasn't been good enough this season.
Yeah, Quan's been you know, having some issues in coverage this year, and it's you know, surprising because, you know, he's typically much better than this. But, and then some of that, you know, I'm sure is the pressure of not having Will Harris alongside him and the cornerback struggling. You know, those numbers always get skewed a bit because, like, you know, if the corner gets beat badly and the safety is the one that's closest to it, it might get, you know, he might get the one that gets tagged with the completion or whatever it is. But nonetheless, you know, nobody in the secondary has really been playing well. I mean, the biggest bright spot has probably been Trey Amos, and even he has had his ups and downs as a rookie corner. So, you know, that's really the Achilles heel of this defense. You know, even with these adjustments that they're making, I'm not sure that there's a solve to that. Like, that's more of a personnel issue. That's not something that's necessarily going to get fixed by tweaking the scheme.
Deshaun, before we let you go, I'd love if you could clear something up for me and our audience here. So Dan Quinn talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it's still kind of confusing tuning into the press conference. So Zach Ertz is called short of the line of gain on fourth down. They did the virtual measurement, which everybody knows sucks. The chain game was so much fun for so many years. Bring it back. But the virtual measurement has him short, and then he said he would not have been allowed to challenge. But, like, shouldn't the NFL then have looked at that? Like, do you know more about that play in particular?
It was basically treated like a scoring player in those situations. Like, it's an automatic review. And so they're inherently, like, reviewing the play in order to determine what the virtual measurement is. And so, like, challenging would just be asking them to, like, do what they did in order to come to that determination, if that makes sense. And so it's like kind of like in the same way, you know, you can't challenge, like,
a touchdown.
I don't know what a good comparison is. But that's it's like a touchdown. Like, it's automatically reviewed, so they don't do it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think they got it right. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of flipped the game. I mean, and I know Dan Quinn talked about it. Like, the two fourth downs kind of lost us the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, the you know, that call and then the offense's play in general, just not being able to capitalize off those turnovers, like, that was it, you know. Yeah. And I've seen, you know, having covered the Raiders for years, like, I've seen that script play out a lot against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You just can't do that against that team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man, I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. That is Tashawn Reed from the Washington Post. Check out his work, WashingtonPost.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Tashawn Reed. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Now, keep listening to AWOD Radio today, tomorrow, and Friday for your chance to win VCU men's basketball tickets. The Red Door guys in AWOD are teaming up. We're putting on our black and gold uniforms, and we're giving away four tickets to VCU basketball season opener November 3rd. The Red Door guys are proud supporters of AWOD Radio. They're VCU alum, diehard supporters of Ram Nation, and they want you to experience the excitement of VCU basketball for yourself. Be listening to AWOD Radio this Friday afternoon, and the Red Door guys for your chance to win those tickets. If you And remember, if you need to sell your house fast in the Richmond area, call the Red Door guys. And for every property they buy, they donate $500 to the Children's Hospital of Richmond at VCU. We close out the show every day by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. We call this segment Game Day here on AWOD Radio.
This is AWOD Certified Game of the Week.
No, that's the Game of the Week there. Officially we need to do Game Day.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports
Jay
fans
Money
in
filling
town.
In for Stubb.
9-10 The Fan.
Found the button.
We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on Game Day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like Game Day in this Game Day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game Day. Game Day.
Game Day. Game Day. So what's interesting is the viewership has dropped off here in the World Series, but I feel like this has been an above-average fall classic.
It's been really good. It's been one of the better ones in recent memory, honestly.
Is it hate for the LA Dodgers? Is it hate for Canada? I mean, why aren't the Rays? I mean, you've got Shohei Ohtani. He's the face of baseball. Have people not realized that? Like, Derek Jeter's retired. Like, he's the face of baseball. I'm sorry he doesn't play on the East Coast, so you have to stay up late to watch him. But he's the face of baseball. And for Toronto, first off, it's been 32 years. Second off, they've got incredible star power on their team. And I think it starts with Vlad Guerrero Jr., but all across their lineup, they've got really big players stepping up in big spots. Like, why aren't more people tuning in? Is it simply because it's football season?
I think that might be it. I mean, look, Shohei is, if you're going to watch any player in baseball, you're going to stay up for any player in baseball. You're going to stay up for Shohei, right? But Vlad Guerrero Jr. is having an incredible postseason. The pitching's been amazing. We've been treated to, not just in this series with the 18-inning game, a different marathon of a game earlier this postseason. The baseball playoffs have been really good this year.
Yeah, and I've always said Freddie Freeman's one of the most clutch baseball players in my lifetime. I mean, we saw him do that with the Braves. Now he's doing it with the Dodgers. He's had incredible success in his career. But what you said about Vlad Guerrero Jr., and I saw Vlad Guerrero hit a lot of bombs with the Expos, and then he even ended his career with the Orioles, which was fun for me as a kid. But 15 home runs, right? No, 7 home runs in 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 23 in the regular season. That is just clutch right there.
When you need your guys to show up, I mean, that's what a superstar is, right? Him, you get Bo Bichette healthy for this series, too, who's been big for them, gotten a couple of huge knocks, and George Springer went down, but he was the one that sent them to the World Series. So there's been a lot of guys that stepped up, some guys that have had career revivals this season for a Blue Jays team that really has shocked all of baseball this year.
Yeah, and maybe I should have not glanced this headline and read into it, because it is down in America. But I should have guessed. Viewership is up in Japan and in Canada.
Oh. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
It really is the World Series this year. It's
right,
Japan
right.
versus Canada.
It's not, yeah, I mean, this is the legit World Series. What was it? Noah Lyles said the NBA the guys brag about it. That's not even the World Championships. This is the World Series. And there are a ton more viewers. I think it was... So it was 19 million average in the USA and Canada, and 32 million average in Canada and Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. But that 18-inning game was fantastic, and I think a lot of us thought that, all right, LA's got all the momentum. Toronto's just going to fall over and quit, and they've refused to fold. And they've got the power in their lineup, and so the series is tied at 2 games apiece with Game 5 tonight. Looking forward to that one. Who are you going with tonight? Blake Snell on the mound for the Dodgers.
Blake Snell's been amazing this whole postseason long. The Blue Jays' bats have been really good. The key to this series and the key to every single game in it has been just, can the Blue Jays get past the starting pitching of the Dodgers? And
yeah,
the way that Blake Snell's been playing, he's won more innings in this postseason than he has any postseason ever. Before this one, he'd never gone deeper than 5. He's consistently going 6, 7, 8 innings deep into these games. If he can go deep, I think the Dodgers win. And I think they pulled this one out at home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think it comes down to pitching tonight. I'm going to mention a few NBA games for my choice on game day, as it is a Wizards Wednesday. All right, and Washington will play tomorrow against the OKC Thunder. We had Dave Johnson on the show earlier today. If you missed it, you can rewind. Obviously, talking Wizards is tough, but I thought he gave a great story about Michael Jordan and his time on the Washington Wizards. You can now hear Michael Jordan every Tuesday with the NBA on NBC. And then he talked about the sports gambling situation that's going on right now in basketball in the NBA. And I've heard this take before, and I think it was Kevin Sheehan or Steve Zabin that brought it up on their show, but the player props are what to blame.
Yes.
It's become too easy. Like, I know people have been illegally gambling on sports for decades, if not centuries, right? Because you go back to, like, the Black Sox, right? The Chicago White Sox team from 1911. But when it was changing a game, that was hard. When it's changing a player's points or rebounds or assists, it's just too easy, especially when you bet the under. That's already criminal. Any sports gambler knows you always bet the over because that's fun. In points, in rebounds, in assists, in everything, you bet the over because you want to see the action. I mean, that's already criminal. So we should have looked into anybody that ever bet an under game, or at least an under player prop for sure. But like, you look at what happened with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Jonte Porter. It appeared he got into bed with some bad people. The mafia. The mob. And he, I think, what was it that came out for him? It was his assist under, or maybe it was his rebound under. But it was a game in which he left for like a phantom ear injury. And then another one was like an eye injury. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sure you're just leaving the game injured. And then with Chauncey Billups, that is from illegal poker. All of these guys play poker. I've heard stories about basketball players playing poker on their airplanes for decades, you know? And so the NBA players, they love poker, they love gambling, and once again, like guys like Chauncey Billups and others are getting into bed with the wrong people, and they're taking their love for poker and getting them in trouble because they're using them as face cards. Oh, and you know how many people would want to sign up to play poker with a Paul Pierce or a Kevin Garnett, or a Chauncey Billups? That's how you get them in there, and then they're taking everyone's money because they're cheating. So it's a stain on the game right now, and it feels like one of the worst things that's happened to the NBA since Donahue, and probably the worst thing that's happened under Adam Silver. So Lakers, T-Wolves tonight. Still no LeBron, but did you know who's been leading the Lakers? Austin Reeves, 36 points per game. What? Yeah. Austin Reeves is the third best scorer in basketball this season at 35.8 points per game. It's unbelievable. There's no defense being played, and he can shoot decent from three-point range. Jeremy, thanks for stepping in, our relief pitcher. Are we rolling with Jay Money? Are you going to sleep on it?
We'll sleep on it here. We'll sleep on it.
But I think you kind of
it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's enduring, right? I mean, I think it's a good nickname.
Yeah.
Jay Money. All right, Stubb will be back tomorrow. I'm Adam Epstein. Grant and Danny drive you home on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.